That's exciting, isn't it? To be able to worship together, to be able to do that, to be able to be with one another. We're not here by ourselves. You don't have to worship on an island all by yourself. You can worship in community. You can worship together with other like-minded believers, those that know Christ as Lord and Savior, and to be able to sing praises to the one who made it all possible. All possible. Some you just don't see. If you got your Bibles, look over. We're doing communion today, guys. We're doing communion. We're going to have it in the middle of the service. It'll be going over. Be over in 1 Corinthians 11 is where we're going to be. But I want you to pay attention. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit of God to come and take over you, to come and transform you. Because there really is some you don't see. In Ecuador, we go there in Shell, Ecuador. We finished keto, we finished Riobamba, and Shell is one of the play days in a way. We see waterfalls, we see beautiful, beautiful things. But when you go to Shell is named after Shell Oil Company. And Shell is also where Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, the five missionaries died. They left the airstrip and they went over into the jungles trying to reach the Warani people. The Warani people, they were an interesting group. Real quick, they were a group of people that revenge killing, they're known in the history of mankind as probably the most gruesome type of people that you could ever find. Really the most barbaric people that's ever lived on the earth, because the way we view things, let's just say if Casey killed one of my family members, what I would want to do, of course, is to get revenge on Casey by hurting someone of his, like maybe hurting Jennifer or one of the boys. But the way the Warani people see it is if somebody in my family dies, then somebody has to die. It's not just the family that hurt me. It's not just the individual that hurt me. No, anybody's got to die. My family shed blood, so somebody's going to pay. And somebody had to die. That was the group of people that Jim Elliot and the missionaries were trying to reach. They had made contact and were getting closer and closer and closer. And Shell Oil, they had built this beautiful road, and they were digging, and they were spending hundreds of millions of dollars to try to find oil there in that particular region of Ecuador. And the Warani people, this was all happening like in the late, mid to late 50s, like 1956 is when the missionaries actually died. And Shell was digging there, and they had all their workers, so the Waranis would like, look, if they would kill somebody, and here's Shell workers, and they just kill Shell workers because somebody had to die. It was just crazy. They just killed, and they killed, and they killed. That's the Warani people, and that's who they were trying to reach. But Shell Oil spent hundreds of millions of dollars to dig really, really deep in the ground to try to find oil, Shell Oil, like we have the gas stations around here. And they never found oil. Finally, what they did is they dug so far and they just quit digging and they packed up and moved out. Another oil company came in behind them, stuck in many of the same holes that Shell was digging and went down and continued to dig. And you know what? They found oil. You know how far they had to dig? 1 foot. Hundreds of millions of dollars was spent and they never found oil. Next group come in and dug a foot deeper and found all that oil. So often inside of church, we're having communion today. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 31, says, "But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the Word. Look at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. A man must examine himself. How many times have you taken the Lord's Supper? How many times have you read this scripture in 1 Corinthians? How many times have you heard Paul? How many times have you heard a pastor say, look, this morning we're going to step back. We're just going to examine ourselves. We're going to look at our lives before we are taking the Lord's Supper. But you know, there's always something a little deeper. There's always something hid up under there. This morning, what I want us to do, honestly, and I can't make you do this, but I pray the Holy Spirit of God just weighs heavy on you. Shell Oil spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and they dug and dug and dug and dug, and they moved out, and another group came in, and 1 foot deeper, they struck oil. There's always those sins under there that we just don't see, and you know why? Because we don't dig deep enough. We don't take the time to really look around. We get accustomed to our sin. It's kind of like our kids. Here's the way it is. This is what days like this. We're about to take communion. We're about to remember. And this is just a little plasticky cup. You know, COVID made us buy these little cups. It's got this little wafer in top and the little juice in the middle. I mean, it's nothing fancy, but this represents the body and blood of Christ that made it all possible for us. And we've heard this sermon. We've been through these routines and rituals to where, hey, all right, we've got to get ourselves ready. We've got to prepare to take the Lord's Supper. You know what that's like a lot of times if we're not careful? Kind of like saying, hey, kids, have you cleaned your room? What do? They go in there and they lift the side of the sheets in the bed and they start kicking stuff under the bed. Y'all got anybody got any McDonald's? This group right here, y'all got any McDonald's wrappers under your bed? Any of you? Wet towels, dirty clothes. Yes, 2 weeks ago, underwear. You know what I'm talking about? That's what we do, church. Some of you just don't see, but some is just so deep. Some is we don't talk about it. We kind of kick it under the curb. We throw it in the cracks. We hide it. We don't go just even that 1 foot deeper. And here's what we say. We say, well, that's just who I am. We blame things. We blame our ancestry. We talk about that mean streak that's just in our family name. Oh, well, you know how those, and just fill in the, I don't know, just pick a name. Pick my name. You know how the Moses are. They just got a hateful streak down them. Listen, when you become a Christian, that's not you anymore. As a Christian, that's not who you are anymore. You don't have that hateful streak anymore. You don't have that jealousy streak anymore. That envy, that bitterness, that's not who you are. You're a Christian. You've been redeemed. You've been brought from death to life. You've been made brand new. When God sees us, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus did there for us on the cross. He died for us. And we got this life. We got this one life to live. You know, that's something that's starting to weigh on me heavy. What, 44, 40? I'm getting to be 45 here soon. I say if I live to 90, I'm halfway. It's starting to weigh on me. The urgency. There's an urgency to this. We can kick the can down the road for only so long before it's time to, like, all right, guys, what are you going to do with this life? What are you going to do with this one life that you've been given to live? This one opportunity that you've been blessed by God to, hey, go shine, go represent me, go be my son or daughter out there to the world that you have. I mean, here's the deal. We've wasted a lot of time back there, and we only got so much left in front of us. How many times have we sat through days like this and We're just like, all right, preacher, I'm ready to tear that little tin off and take it because I got lunch waiting on me. How many times have we been just like Shale? Dug so far but missed it. Because you didn't get serious. I'm not saying they didn't get serious. They tried. They spent a lot of money. But how many of us in church, we make excuse after excuse after excuse. It's just who we are. It's just who we are. We've grown accustomed to our sin. We've grown comfortable with our sin. I do it and I don't think anything about it. It's just who I am. No, it's not who you are. It's not who you are. This morning we're going to look at one. There's so many different ones we could look at. There's so many different ones. I mean, a lot of them you can't see, you know? I mean, if somebody walks in, if I go down here and I take Casey's orange coffee cup and I move it to my side and I say, hey, that's mine. Every single one of you saw me do what? Y'all saw me steal. Because this orange coffee cup is not mine. It belongs to someone else. And I took something that wasn't mine. That's stealing. That's visible. There's so many sins, it's just hid. There's so many sins that, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't see jealousy written on any of your foreheads. I don't see envy written on your forehead. I don't see all of that. See, there's so many. That's what I mean. There's some you just don't see, but they're under there. And if we're not careful, if we don't dig a little deeper, if we don't go that extra foot, if we don't go that extra little bit, here's what we'll do. We will go through the motions one more time. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. And out the door we'll go and we will have played church one more time. But we were here. Music was great. Saw so-and-so. Spoke with them. Said, hey, your dress and hair looks good. I did churchy stuff, but I wasn't transformed, didn't change one bit. Because I wasn't serious about it. Go with me over. We're going to look at one. There's so many I could pick. There's so many. But I want us to look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Look at this is one that fits every person in this room. Young, middle, old, been here forever, first time walking a room. This shoe fits you. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? See, and Peter's actually being spiritual there because seven's a sort of a spiritual, special, biblical word. He thought he was doing something. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So is Jesus saying literally 490 times? No, he's saying a number that's just so big. And he gives us a parable in just a second to connect this back and to explain this phrasing that Jesus uses. I mean, Peter was like, hey, should I forgive him seven times? And Jesus was like, no, seven times, 70 times. I want you to forgive him infinite amount of times. Look at the parable that's given. For this reason, verse 23, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents. Google how much 10,000 talents is. It's out there. It's like something like it would take you 200,000 years to pay back 10,000 talents. It's some ungodly amount of money. It's crazy. And that's what the guy had done. He owed his master so much. He had sinned so much. Verse 25, but since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. There's punishment. There's always punishment if there's no forgiveness. Commanded him to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had, and the repayment would be had. He had to give up everything. The consequence of his sin was everything he had. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Can you imagine? He owed everything. It's a picture of what Christ did for us. It's a picture of how we sinned in the face of an infinitely holy God. And there's nothing that we can do to repay it. It requires, it demands eternal separation in punishment from out of the presence of a holy and righteous God. But God showed compassion to us, and he sent his son Jesus to forgive us. Guys, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. We owed an unpayable, big, massive debt that we could never pay in the eternity of generations worth of lifetimes. And God had compassion on us and he forgave us. But notice this. Verse 28, but that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Not an infinite amount, a lot. Like, I mean, Google it. It says maybe 4 months worth of pay. Okay? A denarii a day is about what you would get paid. So about 100 of them, little over, right at 4 months, 3.5, 4 months of pay. That's a lot, but nowhere near the comparison. The original Lord had forgiven him this massive debt, and he goes out and he sees somebody that owed him just a little, and look at what he does. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you," the same exact words as he had already said himself. But he was unwilling, verse 30, and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also listen, church? Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" Guys, I don't see unforgiveness. We can't see it. It's not written on us. We don't wear unforgiveness across our back, or we don't do it. But here's the deal. If we're not careful, unforgiveness is one of those that it's just out of sight, out of mind. There's people that hurt you in the back. There's people that stabbed you in the back. There's people that did you wrong in elementary school. There's people that did you wrong in cheer and football and in the real world in education. They took your job. They didn't advance you. They messed you up and they hurt you. And it's real. I'm not saying the pain's not real, and I'm not saying the what happened's not real. But here's what I'm telling you. God forgave you. God sent his son Jesus, and he died on a cross and took the punishment that every single one of us deserve. And we are about to sit here and take in honor and in remembrance of what his body and his blood that was poured out and broken there on the cross for my sin. And I take that and I praise God for it, but I hold man to a totally different standard. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness for a Christian is not something we can't do that. We can't have that. It's not who we are. It's not who you are. I mean, every one of you, it's not who you are anymore. I don't care what they did to you. Look at what we did to him. Look at how we live. Look at what we're doing. If we sit there and we say, there's no way I can forgive them because they hurt me too bad. Look at what we're saying to the one that we are still hurting with our disobedience. Just 1 foot deeper. That's all they had to go. And they missed out. Just 1 foot deeper. Just a little more. Just be honest. Just be real. You know, that's all the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. He convicts. I'm not convicting by my words. My words aren't convicting. I'm not saying who it is. I mean, it's your mind that's being flooded. It's your heart and your spirit that's being flooded with these thoughts. I'm just saying words, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of you in different ways. As you hear this parable, as you hear this story, your spirit is listening, and the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and I'm just the mouthpiece of the Word. Men don't convict, the Holy Spirit does. And I'll step back and say, when there's no conviction, there's no Holy Spirit. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, we did a lot of churchy looking things. And He'll say, depart from me, I don't know you. There's no conviction, there's no Holy Spirit. Then there's no salvation, there's no conversion. You say, well, that's just downright mean, preacher. You're judging me. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, if the Holy Spirit's not there, then you're not a Christian. If there's no convicting power of the Holy Spirit as you read the Word of God, then there's a problem. Here we are about to take the Lord's Supper. Look at your life. Look. You know what I'm talking about. There's people hurt you. Have you forgiven them? And here's the thing. There's a lot of you in this room, we're talking about people that's probably dead. Seriously, many of them are dead. It's not like you can go and literally apologize to them, but last night we were coming home. We got into New Orleans at, I don't know, 10 o'clock. We left New Orleans at 10 o'clock and we drove back and got in around 2. They say that's fast. It is fast. Wendy stayed awake. She was like, I'm like, won't you go to sleep? She's like, no, I got to make sure you don't hit nothing. I'm like, what are you going to do? But we stayed quiet most of the ride, and you know what I did? I knew this was coming. I knew where the morning was. I knew what the Lord was leading. I just sat there quiet, and I thought about so many people. And in my mind, I thought I named out friends of mine from elementary school. I was a fat kid. I got called a lot of stuff. And I just called their names out, and Lord forgive them. In my mind, we didn't have this conversation audibly, but in my mind, I went through high school, went on up into, you know, when you start work, you're in college, you're starting work, you're in the jobs, you're in the four, you know, you're just out and about, and as you get on up, you just come in and out, relationships come, relationships go, you put trust in people, and people hurt you, and they, you know, unforgiveness, guys, it's one of those you just got to go a little deeper. So is all the rest. You know, you can be the biggest gossiper in the room. You can be the biggest slanderer. You can be the hatefulest person in the whole wide room. And you know what? I don't see it. But God does. God sees your heart. God sees what's in here. God sees that attitude. God sees that unrepentant, that just hard spirit. And the option is, do we do like the kids and just kick it under the room, kick it under the bed, the dirty towels, the week-old swimsuit? Shouldn't that have been washed? No, you're not going to see it. God sees it. We're about to take the Lord's Supper, and God sees it. I want us to pray. I want us to enter into a time of prayer. And I just want you to right there, bow your heads, right there where you are. I'm going to lead you maybe in a guided, but call those names out. Who are they? Listen. Examine yourselves. Holy Spirit of God, move in this room. Holy Spirit of God, let people have recall. Give them memories. Let them remember, Lord. Go one foot deeper. Think about elementary school. High school. College, early career. Dayton. Go one foot deeper. Don't miss it. Could be a family member. A brother, a sister, a mama or daddy. Cousins. Somebody you looked up to. Somebody in the church. Somebody you confided in. Somebody you trusted. Somebody you just laid it all out to one time and then. Father God, we are simple people. And Lord, if we're not careful, we just accept lifestyles and patterns and tendencies and sinfulnesses and just sins to just be part of who we are and move on and don't think nothing about it, Lord. But help us examine ourselves. Go a little deeper. God, none of us want to get up and just pull our stuff up and walk out that door without. This morning, God, you hear our hearts. You hear our pleads. You hear our prayers, God. You hear it. Forgive us. Lord, you tell us in your word that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God, we praise you for that. Thank you for forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for this day. Thank you for holding us in your hand, Lord. And as we celebrate and worship you this morning through remembering Christ, God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to invite you to take your little plastic cup. COVID made us get plastic cups. And you know what? God don't care. God knew, Jesus knew when he was on the cross we'd have plastic cups and he didn't care. It's the heart. Let me get you to tear off that little top, just the little bitty top. You're going to get the wafer there. I'm going to read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night of which he was betrayed took bread. And And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's what we're doing this morning. Just a little wafer. But representing the body of Christ, the Son of God, broken there for you and me on the cross so we could be forgiven. We do it in Jesus' name. Be very careful. Take the harder part. Gently and slowly pull it back and don't spill it on you. Very easy. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We do this little cup, representing, remembering the blood that was shed on Calvary for us. In Jesus' name. God, we stand before you this morning as sinners who were once blind. God, because of what Jesus did, we're alive, we see. God, thank you for speaking. Holy Spirit of God, as you moved around this room, as you talked to your sons and as you talked to your daughters, God, we praise you for meeting us here in this place. We thank you for your word. God, go with us as we leave here. Bring us back out the next appointed time, Lord. God, it's been good to be in your house. It's been good to be able to worship and sing those powerful songs of praise to you who are worthy. And God, now as we leave this building, Lord, as we go out, your army, just a small army, God, we go out this morning shining, representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go with us, go before us, prepare it, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.